much can happen around the globe that we never hear of.
I really share in our fans' disappointment, frustration. Honestly, I'm embarrassed.
They've been through some tough battles, right? They know what the playoffs looks like. This team's been battle-tested in the playoffs.
He's a piece of crap. The kid, he sucks. He's sucked his whole career.
I got rumors about him. I couldn't please his wife, so now he's divorced.
Put a damn winning team on the field.
Now, the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima give their thoughts on what you might have missed about last night.
So, guys, will you indulge me today? We already had one producer on this show this morning get a little bit heated over the lack of fight from the Cleveland Guardians yesterday. Can I air out some of my grievances to start off this segment, if you'll indulge me?
Sorry, my mic was off. Let's indulge.
I had an indulgence. I was at the game yesterday. I wasn't with Owen. We were sitting in different sections. I was actually in the club seats. I got a lucky ticket, but
wow.
But here's the thing. Hold on.
Congratulations on all your success.
Thank you.
Hey, go right on ahead.
Despite the great amenities there, I had to sit in 90-degree, humid as hell weather. I watched a team yesterday hit as many pop-ups and flyouts yesterday than I could possibly have imagined. I counted 16 of the 27 outs yesterday were pop-ups, and it frustrated me to hell because the Cleveland Guardians had one of the worst offensive performances they've had all season, 6-0 against the Toronto Blue Jays. Now, this was a big part of the frustrations for yesterday, as well as what we've been talking about all morning, which is that the Guardians and Blue Jays exchange hit by pitches between Vlad Guerrero and then Jose Ramirez on both ends. However, both managers, Vogt and Blue Jays manager John Schneider, kind of playing down the situation in their post-game press conferences.
You have to pitch guys like that inside. And every now and then one's going to get away. We're clearly not trying to hit anybody. We don't do that. But he gets hit twice in a series. You know one's coming.
I know they're not trying to throw at Vlad. You know, we're not trying to throw at Hosey. You know, just kind of one of those things where you try to make a pitch. And I thought everyone handled it fine.
That'd be a Sportsnet Canada.
I think you were throwing at one guy. I think you were throwing at Jose after Vlad got hit twice. I don't think they were trying to hit Vlad on purpose. But I think once he got hit a second time in 2 days, then obviously messages were going to be sent. I want to go back to something, though.
Sure.
You said 16 pop-ups yesterday.
Pop-ups or flyout combinations.
Okay, 16 of them. Would it have been easier for you if it was 73 and partly cloudy? Because you said it was like 95 degrees. I'm like, well, I don't care what the weather is. That sucks no matter what.
Even then, no, because I'm one of the weirdos that actually prefers the overcast days in like September.
That's okay.
Yeah, if it was that, it would have been decent. But just being outside for that long and having to deal with everything was just not the most pleasant experience. But great experience overall at Progressive Field.
Except, you know, they lost 6-0 and they had more errors than they had hits.
It was insane.
Can you say it's still a great experience if they play that lousy?
I think you can have a good experience even if your team loses the ballpark.
Daryl?
I'm still stuck on he prefers it overcast in September.
I don't mind that.
Any time of the year, really. You like it cloudy. I do. I like a gray one.
I don't mind it. There was like one time earlier this spring where I didn't like it because it just kept raining. But I don't mind.
Well, you asked us to have 55 and drizzle if we
were going to wake the World Series. We're clearly not going to do that. So I hope it's going to be nice and sunny all summer, even though this has been the worst summer weather-wise ever. Moving on, Mitch.
Going from baseball to basketball yesterday, the Cleveland Cavaliers adding a pair of draft picks. And now people were talking, you know, with these two second-round additions for the team, what is that going to mean for potential Cavs upcoming free agents like Sam Merrill or Ty Jerome? We had Mike Ganzi, the assistant, GM of the Cavaliers yesterday.
He's the regular GM. He's not the assistant.
Is that right? Assistant now?
They removed that.
Full-fledged.
He's full-fledged assistant GM for the Cavs yesterday, addressing the matter.
I don't think it changes it much at all. You know, I think with this pick, we were just going to take the best talent there and then the guy we like the most. And, you know, Tyrese was that guy and can't have enough ball handlers. And he's 21. He's still got a lot of upside. We're excited for him to, you know, work with Kenny and his group and get him in here and just kind of see what happens.
Is it a case where one of these two guys are going to be back next year? I don't know if both these guys are going to be back next year, even if the picks didn't come in.
Well, next year, I think you would still have I still think you would have Proctor. I don't know, but he's from Senegal, but the guy who's going to play in Europe ain't going to be
right
here.
I'm talking about our free agents coming up.
Oh, Jerome, I thought you were talking about the rookies. Ty, I don't know, man. I don't know what they can play with. I know that Ty was so terrible in the Indiana series. I mean, if you have to make a choice, which one are you choosing? You choose Ty, wouldn't you? Daryl, wouldn't you choose Ty?
Yeah.
Okay.
just, he's going to be expensive, though. It's because it's not just the salary. You got to factor in your tax penalty.
Well, then I guess I'm not getting anybody.
So he may cost you $70 million next season without paying
Ty
him.
Ty Jerome?
Without paying him $70 million. Yeah.
Glad I don't own him. Because just money to me. I don't care about his money, so it doesn't matter.
But Dan's getting $600 million for 15% of the Cavs anyway. He can afford
That's why he has to sell 15% of the franchise to pay Ty Jerome, of all people. Sucks. Truth, though.
Sticking with the NBA draft yesterday, this is an interesting segment from Pardon the Interruption yesterday on ESPN. They were talking about how Cooper Flagg, of course, going number one to the Mavericks, joining a roster that, according to Nico Harrison, is being built to win now. And this was an interesting bit between the guys yesterday.
You got Kyrie Irving, okay, who we've seen help get a team to the finals. You got Anthony Davis, Klay Thompson, guys going to the Hall of Fame. Flagg would be joining that in the front court, although he can do a lot of everything. That Dallas roster, led by Jason Kidd and Kyrie Irving, they contend.
Did you just say that Anthony Davis is going to the Hall of Fame? Are you certain of that? Klay Thompson, yeah. You have Anthony Davis in the Hall of Fame without a doubt.
Absolutely.
Without a doubt.
Absolutely.
No doubt. That's interesting.
Does he know some of the caliber of players that have made it to the Basketball Hall of Fame and how they're nowhere near what Anthony Davis has done in the NBA?
I think Tony Kornheiser doesn't realize how many All-Star games, and I know. I think that we do focus, and I'm one of them, by the way. I focus a lot on Anthony Davis and street clothes and glass. Sure. And I don't believe that he has fulfilled his total potential, but he's still an NBA champion. He's still a 10-time All-Star. Like, he's going to the Hall of Fame. There's been plenty of guys who have been less as good as he is. That's not a word. Who have been worse than him that have made the Hall of Fame. I mean, we're putting Andre Iguodala in the Hall of Fame at some point. So you're not going to put Andre Iguodala in the Hall of Fame?
That's a borderline one. I'll give you that. That's a borderline one.
But I'm saying, if he gets in the Hall of Fame, there's no question Anthony Davis is in the Hall of Fame. Yeah. Certainly.
I just like to take a moment and congratulate the Four Letter Network for more outstanding basketball takes.
Hey, you know
They're
what?
They're on a roll these days.
No, wait a minute.
They are on a roll these days over there at the Four Letter.
You can go after a couple of guys, and we have. Again, Kendrick Perkins ain't watching no basketball anymore. But Tony Kornheiser and Michael Wilbon are pretty good at what they've done for like 60 years.
If anything, people want Wilbon back more on NBA coverage.
Yeah, man, of all the guys I'm going to rip, it ain't going to be those two. I just disagree. I'm like, yeah, he's a Hall of Famer. But I'm going to rip them, Daryl, damn.
I just like seeing them fall in line with the rest of the crew.
Wow. Rip it on Tony Kornheiser and poor Michael Wilbon. The only thing that I've never liked about Michael Wilbon, one thing, is that he calls Magic Johnson Irvin. Call him what the rest of the world calls him. It's Magic Johnson.
Yeah.
Magic.
That's got shade all over
it. No, I think that he's like, I know him personally. I call him Irvin. It's like, nah, he's Magic. Call him Magic. They didn't call it the Irvin Hour. Magic. Call him Magic.
That's it for About Last Night.
Sensational. Well done. Well timed as well.